comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show this evening. I'm delighted to be here. I'm delighted you're here, and I think you will be as well. This is a show that exists for two primary reasons. This show exists because you have a right to know, and because you have a right to know you matter. You know, we on the show present all kinds of topics and all kinds of guests who say all kinds of things. And, you know, some people will agree with a guest. Some people will not agree. Some people think a guest is right on target. Some people think he's way off target. And once in a while I get email where someone says, you know, well, I can't believe you would have that person as a guest on your show. This really cuts your credibility. Oh, come on, get off of it. There's no credibility in censorship. Only in totalitarian regimes. And if you've gotten to the point where you think that censorship is credibility, well, I have a few books. I think we could start with the Federalist Papers would be a good place to start, that you need to read. We don't censor the guests, other than, of course, we do tell them we have to obey the FCC language rules. Other than that, they can present what they want to present. And you have the opportunity to question them about it because you matter. And when we give you the opportunity to question them or to make comments and you don't, you've just put your hand up and said, excuse me, I don't matter. Don't do that. You do matter. And we have something that we publish each week because you matter and because you have a right to know. It's called the K-Files. It's our free weekly newsletter. I invite you, if you have not yet subscribed to the K-Files, right now, quick as you can, get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click right there in the middle of your screen where it says K-Files, subscribe, and then you're going to get an email with a confirmation link in it. Use that to activate your account, to activate your subscription, and then you'll start getting the K-Files. It's a good publication, comes out every week. We also have something, because you matter, called the members area. That's where our archives are. That's where you get to watch the show live every night. Or if you miss the show live, you can watch it for the next 24 hours after we've done it. And so, you know, it's there because we care and because you do matter. And I invite you to join and become a member. Plus, you get your own blog page, your own photo gallery page, your own friends page. It's just cool. And there's chat and there's the forums and lots of stuff in there. Now, the chat room right at this moment isn't working, and it isn't working because of work that we're doing on the new members community that we're going to be moving into real soon. But it will be back. All right. It's temporarily out of order. We'll be back right after this. Well, Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And tonight we're going to be taking a look at some pretty, interesting material. Let me begin this with asking you a couple of questions. Are you familiar with the term ancient astronaut theory? I think most everyone is, especially now since there is a TV series about that. And as a matter of fact, virtually everybody that appears on that TV series has appeared here as a guest. In addition to that, we have had as guests on this show, we have had such people as Michael Cremo and Michael Tellinger talking about ancient sites that really seem to, the evidence at those ancient sites seems to say that someone with very high technology and very high culture has been here at some time on this planet. Now, sometimes, we assume that those were ancient extraterrestrial astronauts that came here from somewhere else out there in the universe. And maybe that's the case. It's also possible that the Earth had developed for a very, very long time and had reached a point of high technology, at least some civilizations, and I mean really high technology, equivalent to or beyond us. And all of that got wiped out by a great cataclysm. I mean, both of those are possibilities. Now, we do have people that say, well, where's the evidence of it? Folks, I mean, I hope you do realize that if there was some great worldwide earth-busting cataclysm right now, in just a few years, relatively, there wouldn't be much evidence of our civilizations. Most of what we build and we think, boy, that's built. Most of that would crumble and fall and be in complete disarray, especially if you had a true worldwide cataclysm. For instance, if you had a big asteroid that hit the Earth and it was an extinction level event, and by extinction level, I don't mean that all life is extinct, I just mean that 99% of it goes extinct. There's, maybe that many people that survive it, and maybe there's, a few animals that survive it. Something like that, when the asteroid hits, there'll be a pulse of energy. There'll be a wall of fire that will race around the world and completely engulf the world. And so then just relatively short periods of time after that, whatever was left standing, which wouldn't be much, there wouldn't be much left standing. Most of it would be vaporized. But whatever was left would be pretty much gone in just a very short period of time. And so it is possible that something like that has happened in our past, and that some of the things we think are from ancient astronauts may actually be ancient us. That is a possibility. We don't know. We just know that we find things that don't match history as we understand history. We find things, for instance, like the Nazca Lines, right? The Nazca Lines, there's been all kinds of theories about that, but there's one part of the Nazca Lines that absolutely it defies just explanation. It just defies explanation. The entire top of the mountain has been taken off and leveled. Now, I saw that happen one time. I saw that happen in Kosovo. I saw where the U.S., at its military installation in Kosovo, just leveled off the top of a mountain to use that for their military installation. They didn't do it with picks and shovels and copper tools. And I can tell you, nobody else ever did either. And so the Nazca Lines, right there where it's leveled off, where the whole top of that mountain is just leveled off, it looks like a runway from the air. That's what it looks like. It looks like an airport. Some people have said, well, that's proof, of course, of extraterrestrials visiting the Earth. I don't think it is. I think it's evidence that it could be extraterrestrials visiting the Earth. It is certainly, I think, evidence of someone with extreme high technology. And most likely, we're talking about someone who had machines that flew. Else, why would they need runways? And that's what that looks like. Now, there are people that would say, well, it looks like that, but you don't have any proof that's what it is. True, and you don't have any proof that it's not. So I guess on that, we be equal, right? There are things that exist around the world that pretty much defy conventional explanation. Now, during this past couple of weeks, I have received lots of email with suggestions from people telling me I ought to go take a look at this website or I ought to take a look at that website. And, of course, I always do. If you send it to suggestions, if you send it somewhere else, I don't look at it. I figure, well, first of all, it gets culled out by Jason. But if it does slip through, I figure if you really wanted me to look at it, you would have clicked suggestion. So I hope you do that. I hope you send me suggestions. And you just go to the contact page, click suggestion, and send me the link. All right? Somebody sent me a link to a website. It was a link to a YouTube video. I have looked and looked and looked and looked and looked for that email since then. I think I must have accidentally deleted that. So I apologize. I don't remember who sent it to me, and I wish I did. I would give you credit for it. I would thank you by name here on the air. But I can't find it now. But I did look at it. And it's a video that shows some pretty strange things that I think really speak to either ancient astronauts or an extremely high-tech civilization. In this case, I think maybe I kind of lean a little bit toward ancient astronauts, and I want to share that with you this evening. I want to talk to you about that. Numerology plays a role a little bit. But these sites exist with or without the numerology. There are seven places on Earth. Seven is the number that in numerology tends to be interpreted as completion or complete or perfection. Now, the problem is when we think of perfection, we in the West tend to put some sort of moral meaning in the word perfection, and it has no moral meaning. The word perfect means complete, lacking nothing, finished. okay? But we tend to make it mean something moral, you know, like there's only one perfect person in the history of the world. I've heard that. And what they're talking about is this person is morally beyond reproach. There is no morality in the word perfect, other than what we have in fairly recent times injected into it, because we're, as a society, we look at the world through religious sunshades. But that word doesn't mean anything moral. It means complete, finished, lacking nothing. And there are seven of these sites. What are these sites? Well, these sites are sites where there is a plateau that is in the shape of an arc. And by arc, I'm talking ARC, not ARK. Okay, so you have a V shape across two sides of it, and then a rounded arc, as if you drew a line from one of the sides of the V to the other side using a protractor, and you draw it, it makes a little half circle, kind of, from one side of the V to the other. Four of these happen to be right in the geographical center of continents. Not all of them are, but four of them are, right in the geographical center. One of them is located in the geographical center of the United States of America. One in the geographical center of Africa. One in the geographical center of Asia. And one in the geographical center of Australia. Now, when I first watched this video, I was not all that impressed until I thought about this. What I thought about, I'm going to show you some more facts about this in just a moment. But what I thought was, yeah, okay, well, that's curious. And then I looked at the pictures that are part of that video. And by the way, that video, let's see, who made that video? Moen333 over at YouTube. And by the way, Moen333, thank you for doing that. I looked at your work, and as I said, I was not all that impressed at first. But then I realized that the pictures that we're looking at of these arc locations, these arc plateaus, these are plateaus that are in the shape of the arc, in the shape of an arc, a geometric figure. When I looked at these, I realized you would not notice that was the case unless you were in the air. And these photographs are satellite photographs, aerial-type photographs of these arc locations. You wouldn't notice it unless you were in the air. And sometimes when people say, you know, maybe you notice the one, we'll just pick the one in the United States. You notice that one for some reason, and you say, well, this was probably some, very ancient religious site, and these people were very superstitious, and there's some kind of mythology that goes with this. And, you know, that's the way we approach this kind of stuff. And that, what crap? I mean, yeah, that's speculation. Nobody knows. That's just speculation. And speculation's not crap, but it is when you try to peddle it as something other than speculation. Then it's crap. Then it's great big piles of crap. And that happens with a whole lot of establishment academia. Not all of them, some of them. And you take the one in the United States, and you might say, if you did that establishment line of thinking, you might say, okay, this is just some sort of religious site. These people were just superstitious, and, you know, and this was This is where they worship the sun or something like that. You come up with some kind of nonsense like that. Okay. That might satisfy local minds that are not very curious and inquisitive. But then, once you find out that right at the geographical center of Africa, there's another one. Right in the geographical center of China, there's another one. Right dead center in the geographical center of Australia, there's another one. So you mean to tell me that people in Africa, China, and Australia had the same superstition and the same practice of building an arc-shaped plateau in order to worship the sun? Is that what you're... Come on. I mean, we're talking about continents separated by thousands of miles of deep water. So there's got to be something else happening here. There's got to be something else going on. Something besides just these people are superstitious. These people were worshiping their deity. And okay, so why did they all build an arc shape plateau? Was it all the same deity? And the deity said, I want an arc-shaped plateau. Is that the deal? There's got to be something that is the common thread between all of those continents. There's got to be something that is the reason that these are in the dead center, geographical center of the continent. There's got to be a common thread as to why it's an arc shape. And there's got to be a reason why all of them are 120 degrees. Every one of these arcs is 120 degrees. I'm not talking about temperature. I'm talking about the degrees measuring the separation of the arc, the degrees of the arc. They're all 120 degrees. So there has to be a reason why, and that reason why cannot possibly be separated by all of that ocean, that on every one of those continents you had someone whose deity said, find the geographical center and build me a 120 degree arc. We'll look into this further when we get back.
You are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
And welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about these ancient sites that are, I think, very mysterious and very, very telling, these ancient sites. Just a quick recap. These are in the geographical center, dead center geographically, of America, Africa, Asia, and Australia. Did they get there by accident? I mean, if this is not ancient astronauts, and if it's not some ancient, very high-tech civilization that had a reason technologically for doing this, then here's what we're left with. We're left with believing that on all of these continents, separated by thousands of miles and oceans, someone had the bright idea to build an arc-shaped plateau, and they sat there and they said, well, let's see, let's build, 120 degrees, that's what we got to do. But there's more to this story. Not only are these on the geographical center of these continents, and not only are they 120-degree arcs, all of them have the same orientation. The center line, you know, two sides of the arc are shaped like a V. So it's 120 degrees from one side of the arc to the other. It's 120 degrees. So if we go out to the line that makes that circle out there, that half circle connecting both sides of the V's, and let's just start at the left side of this V and go 60 degrees and draw a dot. Now, if we draw a line from that dot down to where the V, both sides of the V's meet, where the point is, we're at the exact center line of the arc. And that center line on every one of these, that center line shows that the arc is oriented 7 degrees off of north. So, these are the primitive, mythological, superstitious savages that went out on all of these continents, found the geographical center, for whatever reason decided, I'm going to build a 120 degree arc here. And not only that, I'm going to orient it so that it's 7 degrees off of north. All of the savages went out and did this on all of these continents. Give me a break. I mean, if they were as primitive as our establishment historians tell us, if they really were that primitive, they didn't even know about degrees. If they were as primitive as we are led to believe by the establishment academia, they didn't know about 120 degrees, and they wouldn't have known 7 degrees off of north. So I think we can pretty well dispense with the idea that these were primitive savages that went out there and built these plateaus that are arc-shaped. I think we can dispense with that. Someone who understood a whole lot about latitude and longitude in order to figure out the geographical center of a continent, someone who knew a whole lot about geometry, constructed these arcs. And in every place, they are 7 degrees, they're oriented 7 degrees off of north. Why? I don't know why. I don't know why they were built. I'm pretty sure I know they were not built by the primitive savages of establishment history. I'm pretty sure of that. There is more. The more happens to be that at each one of these locations, on that center line, lined up with that center line, is a peak that is the tallest peak in the region. The highest point in the region around each one of these arc-shaped plateaus, the highest point in the region is located on that center line. And the arc itself is oriented 7 degrees off of north, with the highest peak in the area on that center line. And again, these are found at the geographical center of America, North America, Africa, China, and Australia. Don't you find it, it's just a little bit beyond rational to think that primitive people went out and did this on all these continents? Let's before we start giving reasons why we think it was the primitive people, let me ask you something. Are you primitive? Now, I'm not being facetious. Do you consider yourself to be primitive? I don't. I don't consider me to be primitive. I don't consider you to be primitive. All right, so let me give you a task. Go find the geographical center of Asia. Find the geographical center. I mean, walk right up to it in real time on the ground. Walk right up to and mark the geographical center of North America. Could you do it? I bet you could not. There may be two or three people out there listening to me who could, but most of you couldn't do that. We don't consider ourselves to be primitive, but most of us could not find the geographical center. You might be able to get a map out, but this is a map that has been, latitude and longitude has been marked on this map. Each of those grid squares has degree marks in it. So you might be able to figure it out that way, because that's been produced by high technology. I'm asking you, can you, without that map, just with your tennis shoes, walk up to the geographical center of North America, of Australia, of Africa, of Asia? Pick one. Could you do it? And we're not primitive. We're not. But most of us could not do that. And yet, there are people who want to argue that primitive people did it. Not once, that could be an accident. Not twice, that could be a coincidence. Four times, four different continents. It isn't rational to assume that real primitive people were able to do that. If you can't do it, why would you assume they could? But let's assume you somehow did it. Let's assume somehow you got it right. You drove the stake down and said, that's it, that's the geographical center of this continent. Can you now lay out a large, multi-acre arc plateau and make it 120 degrees with the center line oriented 7 degrees off of north? Remember, you're not primitive. Could you do it? Most of us couldn't. You might guess, you might say, well, you know, I think 7 degrees is about right here. And you might get close. You might. These are not close. They're dead on the money. 7 degrees off north. Someone had knowledge of the concepts. For whatever reason, they wanted these arc plateaus built. Someone had knowledge of the concepts. Someone had knowledge of the geometry. And somebody had a compass. And these are very, very ancient. I mean, these predate every civilization we know anything about. Someone had a compass. I think it's also interesting that at each of these locations, there is a peak. Now, it's located in each one of them. The peak is located at a little different spot within that arc, but it's on the center line. It's lined up with the center, with the, it's in a direct line with the V at the bottom of this arc-shaped plateau. It is curious, is it not, that there is a location like this in the center of all of these continents. Not only is there a plateau that's a 120-degree arc, not only is that arc oriented 7 degrees off of north, but there is a peak that is the highest peak in the region located on that center line. I'm not real sure what all of this says. I'm pretty sure what it doesn't say. I think for one thing, it definitely says this was not done by primitive savage people, by people that are just barely beyond Stone Age, and maybe not even beyond Stone Age. It wasn't done by these people, but it was done. By whom? Well, there's one more very curious fact in all of this, and it's a fact that is maybe connected, and that is, at three of these locations, there have been found ancient civilizations of people with blonde hair. I found it pretty curious. The one in Australia is Mount Olga. And in that region, in that area, according to one article that I read, and also according to this video that's on YouTube, 95% of the Aboriginal children born in that area are born with blonde hair. The one in North America, fascinating reading about that. It was the Mandan Indians, M-A-N-D-A-N. And going back, there are records going back to 1600 on that. We'll come back to that right after this, so don't go away, and we've got more coming. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we're talking about these really strange sites in North America, Africa, and Asia, and Australia. As we went away for break, I was talking about the fact that at three of these places, there were discovered, there are historical records of this, that ancient peoples were discovered, ancient civilizations, where the some of the people were blonde-haired. They were not albinos. They were blonde hair. In North America, it was the Mandan Indians, and going back into the late 1600s, there were French explorers that ran into them and noted that not all of them, but many of them, were fair-skinned, blonde hair, and some blue eyes, and some green eyes. And I think names that a lot of American citizens would be familiar with would be Lewis and Clark. The Lewis and Clark expedition ran into these folks. And Lewis was flabbergasted. And he wrote about it. And, you know, he was amazed. These people were obviously of some other extraction other than what he was accustomed to running into when he ran into Native Americans. Other people, 33 years later, there was an expedition where a man by the name of Catlin went through there and had been told by Lewis about these people. He did run into them, and he also was amazed. One of the things that both the Lewis and Clark expedition and Catlin were amazed about, not only was there a large number, a large percentage of these people that were fair skin, blonde hair. Catlin said that the women had European or Scandinavian features as well. That their bone structure was, you know, like Scandinavian women. But they were also amazed because they discovered that these people had in their folklore the story of a man and his family and a bunch of animals in a big boat that survived a global flood, and it was he who was the originator of their tribe, so they say. They had a lot of other stories that, although it did not use the same names that were used in the Bible stories, the stories were essentially the same. And these people had been there for a long, long time. Now, this tribe, the Mandan tribe, apparently was wiped out in the late 1850s due to disease and also some attacks by other native tribes of the area. But they were, they're right there. They're located right there at the American Geographical Center, where there is a 120-degree arc plateau oriented 7 degrees off north. In addition, over in China, at the place where it's the geographical center of China, and there is this 120-degree arc plateau, they have found mummies that are 5,000 years old, at least, and they have blonde hair. And I've already mentioned the one in Australia, where 95% of the Aboriginal children born in that area are born with blonde hair. So this thing about the blonde hair and the blue eyes was something that was a real mystery, especially to the Lewis and Clark expedition in America, and then 33 years later, the Catlin expedition. And Catlin did a whole treatise on trying to figure out how they could have gotten this blonde hair. And he tried to figure out, you know, well, maybe, I mean, there is a story that some of the Norsemen had, in fact, discovered America in the 12th century. And maybe some of them kind of procreated with some Native Americans who then procreated with some other Native Americans, and blonde hair was in the gene pool. Well, it won't work, because blonde hair and blue eyes is a recessive, both are recessive traits. And you might, just might, every few generations have a child born where the recessive traits come through. But not a whole tribe of people where the where there's a very large number, a large percentage of these people with blonde hair and blue eyes. And even if that were the explanation, how do you account for it in China? How do you account for it in Australia? And how do you account for it in Africa? Well, that's the interesting thing. You don't have to account for it in Africa, because in Africa, there has not been found at that location an ancient tribe of people with blonde hair. So that's a mystery. And it's that reason right there, it's that fact that makes me say this may be related to these sites, but maybe not. Why, you know, if it was ancient astronauts and they were doing some kind of genetic stuff, or maybe they were kind of fooling around with the locals, you know, party night with the locals, and that's how blonde hair got started in those other three areas, how would you account for it not happening in Africa? So, you know, that's one of the little kinks in the blonde hair part of this. But there is no kink in the facts when we talk about the sites themselves being dead center geographically dead center of North America, Africa, China, and Australia. There's no kink in those facts. There's no kink in the facts that they are all, every one of them, 120-degree arcs. And there's no kink in the facts when we say that they are oriented at 7 degrees off north. It would be, also, there's no kink in the facts when we say that the highest peak in the area is located on the center line of that arc. All of that is there. The deal with the blonde hair, well, that's a maybe. That's just a maybe. But, you know, it's something to consider. It is a little bit strange. Although, in the United States of America, when European explorers came first to the Cherokee lands, they found a good number of Cherokee were light-skinned, blonde hair. They were amazed that these were not savages. This was an agrarian society, and they were wearing shirts and trousers and turbans. I know you think of American Indians as wearing eagle feathers and war paint, but that's made-up nonsense. Especially it is with the Cherokee. The Cherokee were wearing shirts, trousers, and turbans, brightly colored turbans. Many of them light-skinned and blue eyes and blonde hair as well. All right, we'll be back after this, and when we do come back, I'm going to open up the telephone lines to see if you would like to comment or ask questions. We'll be back right after this. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith. Welcome to those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. Amazing things we're talking about here, and mysterious things. I hope I have communicated well with you as to why these sites defy the standard establishment historian kind of answer to this. Look, you got to remember, establishment historians and archaeologists once said there was no such thing as the city of Troy. It was all mythology. And today you can walk in the streets of the city of Troy. They once said there was no such thing as Hittites. That was all mythology. But today, you can stroll across the multi-acre foundation of their royal palace. Something big has been going on this earth for a very, very long time. We're going to open up the telephone lines and invite you to join the discussion. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Again, 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. As far as these blood tests go, just a couple points I'd like to make. The 7-degree deviation from true north, could that have been because at some eons ago, true north might have been 7 degrees different?
It could be. It could be. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I said nothing. I'm waiting on you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little feedback here. If that's the case, okay, I'm sure that common man, being us, we could make a 120-degree arc, in no matter what size, with just. I mean, you can make a straight line with just 3 sticks. So that's how they used to build ancient roads, with just 3 sticks, and you'd have straight as an arrow. But I don't think that these were man-made for the simple reason to find the geographical center. I think you almost have to view the continents from above, like outer space.
Well, yeah, I agree with what you're saying. But in addition to that, all of these, I mean, it's if you, like I said, you do this in one location, you might say, well, okay, maybe some primitive guy just sort of lucked out and had no idea he was at the geographical center and just built this thing. I mean, you could say that. You do it in 2 places, 2 continents. Well, that might be a coincidence. You do it in 4, and they're all laid out exactly the same with the same precision of 7 degrees off north with the highest peak in the area on the center line. Now, that pretty much takes it out of the possibility of primitive man.
You know, I agree with that. The fact that the highest point is on that center line, that just rules out everything.
Well, that plus all 4 of them on 4 different continents, all being laid out exactly the same, and all of them having the center line at 7 degrees off of north. That being the case, there's something else going on here besides just primitive man.
I wonder why it was only 4 continents and not all 7 continents.
Well, the others are not in the dead center of the continent. 7, I think, may play a part in this, meaning complete. It's complete. As to why they're not in the dead center of the continents, the other 3 continents, I don't know. But I do know these 4 are. And, you know, they're obviously there and constructed as they are for some reason. It's a mystery to me. This is something new. Until I got the email, I think you probably heard me say, I can't remember who sent it to me, and I can't find the email, but I got it within this last couple of weeks, suggesting that I look at this video. So I did. Whenever I first saw this, I was not all that impressed until I stopped to think, wait a minute, you can't see this unless you're up in the air, and it's on 4 different continents? I have no idea why, but there's obviously some important reason why they're all 120 degrees, oriented 7 degrees off of north, with the highest peak in the region setting on the center line. There's got to be some reason, and it can't be primitive superstition.
I also found interesting, I didn't know that some of the Indians wore turbans, which suggests that, you know, it's when I think of turban, I think of Eastern civilization.
Uh-huh. Well, they did, and they still do. The Cherokee still, you will find a lot of them wearing the turbans. The reason that we don't think of the Indians as being civilized, which in fact many of them were highly civilized, is because it was not in the best interest of the United States government for its population to know that these were civilized people with their own language, their own music, their own written language, and in the case of the Cherokee, their own public school system for their children. It was not in their interest because they intended to wipe these people out, and they didn't want sympathies among the public in the United States. And so the stories that they told them were that these were savages. And they're still doing that same kind of stuff today.
I guess we were brainwashed back then, too.
Yep. Yeah.
One last thing I'd like to mention is I always enjoy your listener comments. You know, I know we're not Einsteins out here, but every once in a while a piece of sunshine shines through.
Yeah. Look, you know, you don't have to be Einstein to be able to figure things out. Even Einstein had things he couldn't figure out. But there were things that he observed and talked about, and he was a smart guy. But I think everybody pretty much is an Einstein. You know, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you've probably heard me say it. Everybody you know, everybody you meet is an expert at something. You know, Einstein was an expert at physics, but he couldn't tie his shoes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kevin.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I agree. I love the listener comments as well. And what do you think about all of this? I mean, this is something I haven't heard anybody talking about. Moen333 put this video together and put it on YouTube. Or let me put it this way. Yeah, that's right. Moen333 put the video together, put it on YouTube. I haven't heard anybody else talking about this. I haven't heard anybody else comment on it. I haven't seen any articles written about it. You know, this is new to me. Now, it may be old hat to you, but it's new to me. And this is gigantic. I mean, this is worldwide. It's gigantic, and it's strange. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is Troy. I'm calling from the island of Newfoundland.
Hello, Troy, on Newfoundland.
How are you tonight, Kevin?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good, sir. Pretty good. I'll be honest, I missed the first hour and 10 minutes of your show tonight.
Oh, well, you're pardoned.
I missed the world of universe information, I think.
You did indeed. We're talking about... there are in North America, Africa, Asia, and Australia, dead center geographically of each of those locations, there is a plateau in every one of those continents. There's a plateau that is apparently either artificially made or artificially shaped so that it is a 120 degree arc. The center line of that arc in all of those locations is oriented at 7 degrees off north. On that center line is the highest peak in the region in all of those locations. And you can only see this from the air.
And how long ago have that been on the ground?
That's been on the ground apparently since there's been ground. They're very, very ancient. They predate anything that we understand as recorded history. And in three of these locations, there are native peoples that have been found with blonde hair, blue eyes. Ancient peoples. In Australia, the one that's there, the aboriginals who live there even now, if they live right there around that ark, 95% of them are being aboriginal children being born with blonde hair.
Gee, that's very, very interesting.
It's very weird, too. I don't think that we can say that these plateaus were arranged this way by ancient barbarian people.
No, indeed not.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on with it, but I find it fascinating.
I think people's view nowadays of ancient people, too, is stuck to more technology-driven.
Mm-hmm.
And you see most artifacts that lasted thousands of years or more sort of earth-based, earth-made, without, like, metal and steel, something mm-hmm. manufactured. They just cut the earth and made something out of it that would stand the test of time. And I think that in itself, and that idea is, like, we got to sort of understand that that's sort of doing for us to give us a reminder of the past civilization that you know, was once there. So
yeah, I think absolutely.
Looking at it wrong from those, right?
So let me ask you this. Would you subscribe to, based on these arcs being there, they're plateaus is what they are, and they're big. They're really big, and they're all 120-degree arc with the center line 7 degrees off of north and the highest peak in the area being on the center line. Would you subscribe to, okay, this is something related to ancient astronauts, or would you subscribe to the idea that this is something related to the idea that at very, very extremely ancient times in Earth's past, for which we have no records, there was extremely high civilization with high technology that got wiped out? Which of those would you go with?
Definitely the latter.
The latter? Okay. Yeah, and, you know, that might be... that might be the case. That really might be the case. I think there's evidence for that.
I don't know if your mom, just to jump off topic a bit, but something that I've always been on my mind about Earth and space and whatnot. So sort of throwing numbers out there tonight. Like the Earth was traveling along the orbit around the sun at 66,600 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And the Earth rotates from west to east on its axis 1,056 kilometers an hour, which is about 656 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
which is just below the speed of sound. And I'm wondering now, like, if the Earth is traveling that speed, and the Earth is rotating that speed, like, this might sound really fundamental, I might have lost some of my thought on it, but how do a UFO come up on Earth? Do they have to, like, reach that speed to catch up to Earth?
Well, yeah, they would have to.
Yeah, well, I always wondered that, right?
Yeah, they would have to, just as our spacecraft have to match the speed of Earth to stay with it as they're in orbit around it.
But isn't the spacecraft sort of stuck in Earth's gravity sort of thing that helps get that speed?
Yeah, but, you know, if they exceed the speed of the Earth as it's moving in its orbit, they leave orbit. So, you know, they have to pretty much track with the Earth to stay in orbit around it. Now, that doesn't mean as they're going in orbit around the Earth, you have to understand there's two motions happening. They're in orbit around the Earth at many thousands of miles per hour, you know, like 22,000 miles per hour, something like that. That's the speed with which they're circling the Earth. But they're tracking with the Earth. As the Earth is moving in its orbit, they're tracking at that same speed with the Earth. They have to break out of that to get out of orbit.
Yeah. It's amazing, though, like, you know, the physics it takes to get off of Earth and to come to Earth. And it's pretty mind-boggling, really, you think about it.
Yeah, it is.
I wanted to say before I get off the get the air from the caller, Kevin, do you mind?
Go ahead.
About a year ago, I had a dream that basically goes like, I woke up about in the middle of the afternoon. I put a pot on the stove to boil water, put spaghetti in it. And I noticed that I looked outside the window, and it was very weird type of colored light coming in through the window. So I went up by the door, and I walked out down to the driveway. I looked up at the sun, and the sun was like sort of lower on the horizon than it should be at the time of day. And then I looked at it, and the sun pulsated twice, this weird type of energy, like bright. It was a bright light, but it didn't hurt the eyes. And I sort of saw like that wave of energy come towards the earth, and like the little shimmering of the heat across the pavement.
Uh-huh.
You see it come towards the earth like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, just like I put my arms up to receive that sort of energy, and next thing I know, I woke up and I was in bed, and I just was like, "Wow, I don't know what to think of that." What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's a pretty cool dream for one thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know how to interpret the dream, but that's pretty cool.
I felt like the sun was like more than just the sun. Like we're looking at the sun, it was like a big nuclear ball of energy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think it's like actually a living entity in the sun. You know.
You know, you might be right because none of us have been there, so we can't say definitively.
No.
So it could be right.
I think, like we're spoiled by science fiction as well. See.
Mm-hmm.
Like science fiction's view of how space is, that's all we get to see, sort of thing, because we're so limited, we're so cut off from true knowledge. All we get to see is science fiction dreams of space, so we don't know what is really out there, really.
You're absolutely true. They keep it sectioned off, so we don't get to see it all. Okay, Troy, I have to move along, but I want to thank you for the call from Newfoundland, and thanks for sharing that dream with us. Okay, so Troy says he thinks that probably there was some extremely high-tech civilization on this Earth that got wiped out in the past, rather than the ancient astronaut theory. What do you think about it? 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. Now, look. Doesn't matter, has nothing to do with it. Doesn't matter whether you're calling from east of the Rockies or west of the Rockies. All right, call us at 623-444-5889. We'd love to hear from you. I want to know what you think about these four continents right at the dead center geographically of North America, Africa, Asia, and Australia. You find one of these 120-degree arcs with the center line 7 degrees off of north. How did it get there? And what do you think about what is it? What is it for? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Now, this is just a couple of possibilities. You'd have to go to the geologic record to find out when 7 degrees off of what we call true north was true north, or the magnetic north or something, that might give you a date.
So you're saying when was true north at 7 degrees? In other words,
when was magnetic north at 7 degrees off of true north?
Well, it might, but, you know, I mean, it could be magnetic north wanders around. It heads west for a while. It moves back east for a while. It moves south for a while. It keeps moving around, so I'm not sure it would. It might give you several dates back when. But,
probably.
Yeah. But the question is, even if there was a time when that center line would have been 20 degrees off. Question is, why are they all precisely the same?
I can't answer that. However, I do have another question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you know if they've ever done any ground penetrating, anybody has done any ground penetrating radar at any of those sites?
No, I do not know that. I sure don't know that. Uh-huh. It would be. Do you think this thing with the blonde-haired people at three of these sites, you think that's connected to this in any way, or is it just coincidental?
To be honest with you, I won't comment because I don't know.
I don't know either. It's curious. It's curious. That's all I can say about it.
Here's one thought, possible thought.
Mm-hmm.
Something about the energy at those places may have caused the recessive genes to become dominant for a period of time.
Well, the question then is, how did they all get these recessive genes?
That's true. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I can tell you this. I have three grown children. I have one little boy. Before my hair started turning white and turning loose, I had blonde hair. Mm-hmm. None of my children have blonde hair. I have hazel eyes. None of my children have hazel eyes. They all have brown eyes, dark hair. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's pretty hard to get blonde hair, blue-eyed, green-eyed, or hazel-eyed. It's pretty hard to get that.
Yeah.
Although, if you go to Mexico City and walk around in Mexico City, you'll see a whole bunch of folks down there who are native-born Mexicans who are blonde hair and blue-eyed.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you know about genetics?
Well, I'm no expert in it. I understand genetics somewhat, yeah.
All right. Everyone in my family but me has blue eyes. I have green.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
You're a rebel.
That's true.
You see, I don't even have to understand genetics to be able to answer that question.
That's true. Okay, I'll see you.
Thanks, Brent. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. 623-444-5889. Also, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, as always, we invite you to either call that number or use the flash message option on my website, which Patrick has done, Patrick in Australia. G'day, Kevin. I was going to say that conditions must have changed considerably at Mount Olga for anybody to have been interested in being out there. Nothing but red dust and flies. But then I remembered it's only a 200 to 300 miles to America's Pine Gap facility. So maybe there is something to it. Be interesting to see if there are military bases near any of the others. Also, it's interesting that in 1931, Professor Elkin met a group of Aboriginals who had never met a white man before. Yet, the elders greeted him with Masonic hand signs, and they had Semitic features. Now, that is weird. See, you don't have to get off of Earth to run into mysteries. We talk about the mysteries of the universe here, but you don't have to get off of the Earth to run into mysteries. Patrick, thanks for the flash message. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about these very, very strange constructions that are located at the geographical center of North America, Asia, Africa, and Australia. Now, we just had a flash message from Patrick over in Australia. And he says, I can't imagine anybody would be interested in being out there. Nothing but red dust and flies. By the way, I know it's not called Ayers Rock anymore. I don't remember what it's called now, but I think everyone in the world will know it by Ayers Rock because it was that for so many years it was called that. And it's a tourist attraction. And it's a straight line. Fairly short distance, relatively short distance, between Ayers Rock and Mount Olga. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Good evening. It's Jackie from Florida.
Hello, Jackie.
Hi. And I just had to call. I don't know what else is probably going to have seen this, but the picture you're showing where you show the continents, those four images look so much on my computer like eyes. Eyelids with shining eyeballs inside them. I don't know if there's any kind of rock sculptures at the site, but they're oddly looking like eyes to me.
I had not noticed that. I just brought it up on the screen, and yeah, it does look like eyes.
On mine, they just, the one in the middle of China almost just is like has a little shining light coming out the way the picture is coming up on my screen.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Look at the one in Africa.
The Africa one is the one I noticed first. That one jumped out. And then when I started looking at the others, I'm going, this is too creepy. Especially the two that are side by side, the United States and China.
What do you think these things are?
I don't know, but are there contours like in the ground, like walls, or is it high, or is it low areas? Do you know?
No, they are high areas. They are plateaus.
Well, I know the surface is a plateau, but on that plateau, you know, like the Nazca lines are kind of scraped out down to the chalk level.
Oh yeah, well,
you know, anything like that?
No, the plateau itself is in this 120 degree arc shape.
Oh, okay. Wow, this is wild. I have no clue what it is.
Had you ever heard of this?
Googling 120 degrees to see what comes up. I don't know. It must be. I think an engineer might want to look into 120 degrees and radians and things like that, because there's got to be a reason that we're looking at that. I know that that's an angle. Like if you put the three hypotenuse pieces of equilateral triangles together, that interior triangle it forms has a 120 degree angle in it opposite the hypotenuse. So there's got to be some kind of geometry thing involved in all this.
I agree. And but had you ever even heard of this before?
Never.
I hadn't either. And one of our listeners sent me a suggestion. I just wish I could have found the email so I could say thank you and use the name. I just have to say thank you and let it go at that. But would you agree that we're not looking at some primitive barbarian that went out there and said, well, I'm superstitious, so I've got to build me some kind of a temple here, and he just accidentally found the geographical center and came up with 120 degrees.
Coincidences like this, and especially when you're up there looking down and it looks like eyes are looking back at you if you were in orbit somewhere. No. No accident.
Wow, I don't know what to think about this. And the 7 degrees off of north, like I said with Brent, even if magnetic north at the time these were built, even if it was 20 degrees off, the point is that all four of them are the same.
Yeah, that's just, it's amazing. I wish whoever sent it to you would call in, because it is really an awesome picture.
It is awesome. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. Well, I'll let somebody go, and maybe some brilliant person will call in.
Well, we've already had four brilliant people call in. You're the fourth. Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number to call. 623-444-5889. And when you call that number, you will be transported right here to the studio, and you can say what you think about this. I think this is a huge, huge mystery. I mean, when you take it all together, it's not a huge mystery to find an oddly shaped plateau somewhere. That's not a huge mystery. But to find at the dead center, geographically, of these four continents, these combination of facts, to find this combination of facts at the geographical center of each of these continents goes beyond coincidence. Somebody did it. Somebody had to do it. So what do you think? Do you think we're looking at the work of ancient astronauts here? Do you think we're looking at maybe they came here and this is some kind of navigational markings they did? Or do you think this is evidence of some ancient, very highly technological and civilized civilization? What do you think? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
It kind of gives a new meaning to the four corners of the earth, doesn't it?
Hey, well, you know, I hadn't thought about that. But, yeah, I guess it kind of does.
Four power centers, or the centers of power.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
I guess so.
Another thing, too, if we're saying that these civilizations could have been Earth-born civilizations that either left the planet or died off, then the question begs of how did they get here to start with?
Well, of course, our origins on the planet are mysterious. And there are people who think that it happened almost supernaturally, or it happened definitely supernaturally, where God just did it. There are people who think it was all evolution. There are people who think that we are genetic engineered hybrids caused by ancient aliens that were visiting here. I mean, our own origin is very much in question. The fact that we're here is not in question, but how we got here is very much a big question. And, you know, I would have to say that along with the question you asked, you know, how did they get here? We would have to then, I think, say, well, okay, are we the remnants of that civilization? Maybe 25 people survived the cataclysm, and we are the remnants of that 25. Is that what happened? I don't know. But I'll tell you something, Mike. I think that when you get back beyond written history, I mean, you go back as far as written history goes, go to the Sumerians. They wrote about their ancient past, which, of course, the establishment academicians have said, okay, that's mythological. Because they wrote about, you know, their kings prior to the Great Flood. And so, you know, the establishment pros say that's all mythological. But the point is, they had an ancient history. And if we could get back to those kings and find their records, they would have an ancient history that they wrote about. But if we go back as far as we can, which is Sumeria, we really, at that point, are guessing about what happened prior to then. And I think a lot of people assume there was no civilization prior to then, but there was. And the Sumerians wrote about it.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, too, is we hear, talking about the blondes, we hear in the Vedas and the stories of the hill people of India, where out of the Caucasus Mountains, the blondes came forth way back in history, maybe 10,000 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and see, that seems like a long time to us. But the planet's 4.5 billion years old.
That's right.
So there's been plenty of time for very high civilization to have arisen and been destroyed many times in the past.
And you know, there's evidence, if you look at aerial maps of over the, you know, Israel and the Middle East over there, and see what looks like imprints of nuclear blasts at some point in the past. So apparently they did destroy some aspect of their civilization, and maybe the ones left as a survival were the ones that weren't worthy of taking off the planet.
Well, we don't know if anybody got off the planet. But I'll tell you this. 25,000 years ago, in Rajasthan, in India, there was a nuclear war. The remnants of that nuclear war have been laying underground until they started excavating to build apartments and shopping centers, and people started getting sick. And they sent government scientists in to find out what was going on. And what was going on was they were digging into the remnants of past civilization destroyed by nuclear weapons.
Right. So we know that there were these highly developed civilizations at some point. And if they had the capacity of a nuclear war, then there's a good possibility they had a potential to leave the planet as well.
Well, I don't know. I would not necessarily agree with that. We don't.
Maybe they went to the moon.
We can blow this planet up many times over, and we do not have the capability to move population off this planet to somewhere else.
Who said anything about moving the population?
Oh, so you're saying just a handful of elite may have gotten off?
Yes, sir. And they were the ones who had the power, and they took themselves and theirs away from here and left the rest to suffer the perils.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. That's consistent with the way they do things. So that wouldn't surprise me.
It does. And thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity to speak tonight. Good topic, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone lines are open. This is a mystery. This is a huge mystery. It's not a mystery that I've ever heard of before. I've been doing this show for 11 years. And night after night, we talk about various mysteries, things that are strange and unexplained. So just about most of the mysteries that people talk about have come across my desk and across this microphone over the years. This one is new to me. Maybe not to you, but it's, I think it is for most of you, something brand new that you had not considered and didn't know about. Again, my thanks to our listener who sent me the suggestion that I look at this. This is a huge mystery. What do you think it's all about? We'll give you another opportunity to say what you think it's all about right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left. So if you are intending to give us a call, now would be the time to do that because we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. You may be asking yourself, if you saw what's on my website, you saw the picture about tonight's show, and it talks about the possibility of four ancient command centers. And you might be wondering, well, okay, so what's the deal with command centers? Why was that in the graphic about the show? Well, here's the reason. Let's say that these sites are as the result of visitors who are off-worlders. They're not from here. Let's say that because that is what ancient writings say. Okay, I mean, they say that we have... The people in very ancient times wrote about visitors from out there who came here, whom the people of Earth then venerated as gods because they had overwhelming technology. And so that's who they called their gods. What if that's true? And what if these gods split up the earth and each one of them had a part of the earth to be in charge of, to be the king of? Well, then you would want to situate your command post in the center of your kingdom, wouldn't you? And you're surrounded by people out there, earth people, who are pretty much primitive and barbaric. So you would want to be high. You'd want to be on a high place. And for your own protection and your own peace. So that, you know, I mean, even though you got technology and you could fry these guys who might attack you, you could do that. You don't really want to do that. You know, you just want to kind of have some peace there. So you're on a high place. Each of these, the highest peak in the area is on the center line of that ark. So why the ark? And why are they all oriented 7 degrees off of north? And as I said, even if magnetic north was 20 degrees away, they're all oriented in exactly the same way, so that wherever magnetic north goes, they're all going to be the same degree off. It's shaped like an arc. It's visible from the air. They're all oriented the same. It seems to me it would make it easy to find, easy to locate from the air, as you have perhaps visiting, quote, gods coming from God Central over there in Mesopotamia. It seems to me that it would make it easy to locate from the air. Now, all of that's speculation. All of that is speculation. However, that's the reason I said in the graphic for tonight's show something about four command centers that we didn't know about. To me, if this is not as a result, if these are not constructions as a result of some past super advanced civilization on this planet that are terrestrial, then it is extraterrestrial. It is definitely not built by savages, barbarians, you know, just for religious purposes. It definitely could not be, because they would not all be the same on four different continents, all directly in the center of the continent, and oriented exactly precisely the same in all four places. That's not possible. That would take some sort of communication between the savages of four different continents, and a common belief in the necessity to believe construct this. It's just not rational. It's not reasonable. However, it is possible, it is plausible, that it was done by ancient astronauts. It is plausible that it was done by some ancient high-tech civilization living on this planet prior to being destroyed. Now, you might say, well, that's, neither one of those is possible. Okay, so what's your explanation? We want to hear it. I've given you the telephone number. If you've got an explanation other than that, we all want to hear it. So what's your explanation? If you don't buy those, I can understand why some people would have difficulty buying either one of those. On the other hand, if neither one of those is true, what's your explanation? To me, between the two of those, I think both of those are possible. Between the two, I think the ancient astronaut theory fits what we have here better than the ancient civilization theory. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Troy from Newfoundland again. I just wanted to say a quick comment, please.
All right.
I know I'm sort of breaking the one-time call per rule.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to let you know you're doing a great job, Kevin. I mean, I started listening to you about 3.5, almost 4 years ago. And, you know, I've visited you almost every night, as much as I can, sort of thing. And I really appreciate the effort, the research, hearing your opinions, and, you know, just sort of digesting what's out there for us to learn. I just want to let you know you're doing a good job.
Well, thank you, Troy. I appreciate it very much. And the only thing I would say is you need to get rid of that almost every night thing, man. You need to do this every night.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to make it happen, but, you know, it's hard sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Especially summertime.
I understand, believe me. All right, Troy, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. It's good to hear sometimes. And I appreciate hearing. Thanks, Troy. Well, folks, it's a mystery. It's a huge, huge mystery. As I said, this is one I haven't heard of, and I've heard of most of them over the 11 years I've been doing this. I've heard of stuff I haven't brought to you on the show because some of it was so far out, I really didn't think there was any possibility that it could possibly, remotely, be true. When we have something like this, we have facts on the ground. There's not a question. There are facts on the ground here. The question is not, is this real? The question is, what does it mean? Who put them there? And why? What does it mean? And it's a huge mystery. Again, one that I had never heard of. Well, I want to thank everybody who has participated in the show tonight. I want to thank everybody who called in and those who have sent flash messages. Thank you for participating. Thank you for making this show happen. You are what it's about. The information is important, but it's only important because you are. And I think whenever we think together, and people suggest it could be this, it could be that, maybe it was this way, maybe it was that way, I think that helps us all to think broader and deeper. And so thank you for helping us think together here tonight. It is important. That's going to be a wrap for this evening. We are out of time. I do want to remind you, if you haven't done it, you need to get over to my website, and you need to subscribe to the K-Files. You just click where it says K-Files right there at kevinsmithshow.com. Click where it says K-Files, put your email address in there, and then be sure you activate that when you get that email with a link in it, okay? My friends call me Steele Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time. So long, everybody.